Back in January, we aired an interview with the National Geographic photographer Nathan Benn, whose 1970s photographs of Vermont and beyond are on display at the Shelburne Museum in an exhibit called Kodachrome Memory. Several people recognized a man in one of the photos from the exhibition that we posted online. VPR's Angela Evansy went on a mission to learn more about him.
The photograph in question has a simple title, Eden 1973. That would be the town of Eden up in Lamoille County. It's of a man wearing muddy overalls in a muddy barnyard. There's a crowd of people behind him, some standing, some sitting on the roof of a barn. And this guy, he's got his hands all up in the face of a cow. One hand is pushing its nostrils back, and the other is pulling down its bottom lip, showing off a row of giant cow teeth.
Baring the teeth like that, without an explanation, provides a level of ambiguity, and I love ambiguity in my photographs. I like photographs that, when you look at them, they don't answer all the questions immediately.
That's Nathan Benn, the photographer who took the shot. I called him up at his home in Brooklyn, and we'll hear more from him later, because I needed a lot of questions answered. In January, when VPR shared our first interview with Benn on Facebook, a lot of people recognized the man in that photo. "Isn't that Willis Hicks?" one comment said. Someone else wrote, "That man is Willis Hicks, who ran the auction at Katie's Falls. His motto was that the Hicks Commission Sales was the home of the square deal." Somebody said they remembered the day Hicks came in and stopped the auction and announced that Marilyn Monroe had died and asked for a moment of silence. Remember, this photo was taken in 1973, and there was no name in Ben's caption. But in 2015, a bunch of people surfing around on Facebook recognized the auctioneer immediately and seemed to have really vivid memories of him. So, who was this guy?
My first job was at the Charlemont restaurant in Morrisville. And he used to come in every day with these other old guys. I was just a teenager, but he was, "There's that curly-haired girl."
Jennifer Twombly Hicks had also commented on the story.
"He's my father-in-law."
I called her at work at the Trapp Family Lodge in Stowe. She was the first person to explain to me what exactly was going on in that photo.
People would ask Willis when he brought a cow out, "How old is that heifer?" People would holler that out, and he would open their mouth and show their teeth because you could tell from their teeth their age.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
This was kind of his trademark. Willis Hicks died 10 years ago, but as far as Vermont auctioneers went, he was kind of a legend in his day. He didn't sell just cows. He sold entire farms when the owners went under or wanted out. He sold tools and furniture, and people would come from all over to watch him call an auction the way you'd go to a concert or a movie.
We have a picture in our house. It's a great big picture. It's an overhead photograph of the commission sales, and there's cars up and down both sides of the road, and the parking lot's packed. Lots and lots of people knew who Willis Hicks was.
Well, he quit school in eighth grade to go work on the farm with his mother because his father worked out.
This is Peter Hicks, Jennifer's husband and Willis's son.
And then somehow he got in with a guy that taught him how to auctioneer, and he started auctioneering and did that for 21, 22 years.
Peter Hicks is actually in the background of the National Geographic photograph. He's a kid of maybe 10 or 11. He says he watched a lot of auctions.
One time he grabbed a cow by the chain, and she went around a post, and they cut his finger off. They sewed it back on, but he had to have it taken off later, but he was pretty rugged. There weren't too many cows going to get away from him.
Did you ever want to do that?
No, I didn't like auctioneering. He wanted me to go to school. I'd rather work with the cows than I would auctioneer.
What didn't you like about it?
I was more on the shy side. Didn't seem to bother him any.
He was pretty outgoing.
Yeah. Yeah, he got along good with people.
That story about Willis losing his finger checks out, by the way.
I lost the finger at a farm field down in Jeffersonville.
A radio station in Morrisville called WLVB interviewed Willis back in the 90s.
Then another time down the Eusburg farm field, I was selling a tractor. They started it up, and I was standing up on the John Deere tractor, and the iron went right through my foot. So it was a tough life, but somebody had to do it, so Willie did. He did.
I absolutely love the way he refers to himself in the third person as Willie.
Keep the farmers happy, keep Willie happy. We had auctions way from here to the Canadian border, New Hampshire line. Things have changed awful, but not for the good.
Despite how brisk business was, Peter Hicks says his dad never exactly got ahead.
Yeah, he handled a lot of money, but with an eighth grade education, he didn't know how to invest it. And he was born a poor man, he died a poor man, but he had a lot of fun doing it.
The Hicks farmed on the side, so Peter remembers working really hard as a kid. He's proud of it, appreciates the way his dad raised him. For the past 17 years, Peter's worked as clerk of the works for the state of Vermont. We talked during his lunch break in the basement of a state building in Montpelier, where he and a few guys were working.
We're rebuilding the elevator, bringing it up to code.
He says one day, he was up working in the fifth floor of the state building where Governor Shumlin's office is.
And I come around the corner, and there was a picture of my father on the governor's floor.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat.
This was actually a second photograph of Willis Hicks. Apparently, Nathan Benn wasn't the only artist to be seduced by Willis's aesthetic. Peter Miller was, too.
At the time, I was living in Stowe. I knew about Willis. I had been up to Katy Falls to his auction house. In fact, also it drew people from all over the area, backwoods people, people from local towns.
Peter Miller's portrait of Willis is really similar to Nathan Benn's. Once again, Willis is showing off a cow's teeth. He's wearing the same broken-in fedora and what looked to be the same pair of overalls. But he looks older, maybe more tired. He once told Miller he guessed he'd auctioned off 180,000 cows over the course of his career.
And he saw many old-timers with 25 to 35 cows cry when they sold their cows. He knew that they're all done farming.
I had one old farmer cry right in the rain. But I didn't realize in another 25 or 30 years I'd be as old as he was. It went fast.
Willis's son, Peter.
Yeah, it was mostly Vermont farmers, like farmers that were selling their land for development. That was how they were making money. Like, I remember on the mountain road in Stowe, he sold out the last farm there. Just people that were worn out and were getting out of farming and nobody to take it over. Some people couldn't even stand to be there to see their cows sold, and other ones were saying, now we can have some time off.
I became really fixated on this idea that Willis was almost like a pivot point in Vermont's history. He was an auctioneer at a time when small farms started to go down like dominoes, just as the back-to-the-landers and the big money were arriving. And that exhibit, Kodachrome Memory, where Willis's picture is hanging, seems to show that time just before the state transformed.
What I so love about this project is it captures a specific moment in time in Vermont before suburban sprawl, urban sprawl, before Pizza Hut and chain stores came here.
This is what Tom Denenberg, the director of Shelburne Museum, told Vermont Edition in January.
This sort of shows us the last of that moment of the invented New England that is Vermont and the beginning of the Vermont of today.
Which brings us back to Nathan Benn, the photographer from National Geographic. I wanted to know, did he mean to take a picture of a man who, regardless of his intentions, was basically facilitating the decline of the dairy industry?
No, I did not. I did not.
Of course, it's never that easy.
Let me try to provide some context to that. To the best of my recollection, the other auctions that I photographed were of Vermont farmers.
Ben told me that he shot a lot of auctions while he was documenting Vermont for the magazine. Most of them involved local, longtime farmers getting out of the business.
This particular sale.
But this one auction up in Eden was different.
You know, the sellers in this case were a couple whose name I think was Tabor. One or both of them were Boston-based lawyers, and they had bought the farm as a weekend home and probably a Green Acres kind of vision of pastoral life in Arcadia.
In other words, they were gentlemen farmers.
Part-timers trying to maintain a dairy operation in Vermont as a hobby, and it didn't work out for them.
Said he couldn't make money enough down in Boston to pay his expenses up here. So he decided to sell out, so I went up and sold the cattle farm machine off for him.
Peter Hicks.
The true Vermonters, you know, said, well, these people don't know how to work 7 days a week and how to do it, you know, kind of like a joke for real Vermonters. So that was about it.
And did they seem sad, or were they like, oh, whatever, we'll go do something else?
No, I think they were glad to get out of it. They got into something that they didn't understand.
And so, in a sense, this particular process might be exceptional, but it was truly more of an anti-gentrification rather than gentrification process.
It makes you look at the photo in an entirely different way. Before, it looked like this timepiece, this relic of old Vermont days gone by. But knowing that the cows belong to Boston lawyers makes everything infinitely more complicated. Vermont had already started to change, even in this vintage 1973 photograph.
It wasn't the end of an era then. I think it's a reach to try to think of it as an end of the era. Many of the things I photographed are persistent to this day. And if you make some effort, you can find them.
And I got 155.
Really, it was just Willis Hicks era. A time when some things changed and others stayed the same. A day in Eden when the auction was perhaps just a bit more entertaining. Willis Hicks died in 2005. When we look back on his time, it's tempting to imagine that things were more real and lament the loss of the real Vermont. I asked Peter Miller, who took that second photo of Willis, if he thought the real Vermont had disappeared with Willis. What is the real Vermont, he said. The real Vermont is what it's turning into. For VPR News, I'm Angela Evanson.
And I got 100, give me 5, give me 110, 115, 120, now 125, 130.
The recording of Willis Hicks in this story was courtesy of WLVB-FM 93.9 in Morrisville. Kodachrome Memory, American Pictures 1972 to 1990 will be on view at the Shelburne Museum until May 25th. And you can see the photos from this story as well as outtakes from Nathan Benn's shoot in Eden at vpr.net.